You're listening to the Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
And we're from the otakuspirit.com website, where you can go for our anime new and old, from anime fans, for anime fans, with our social media links on the right side, and our forum up there with a great community. But yeah, today we are reviewing Kino's Journey. Now, this is Kino's Journey, which is Kino no Tabi, The Beautiful World, but it's not to be confused with the Beautiful World, the animated series, 2017 version. This is the 2003 version of Kino's Journey. We're kind of like three quarters through Kino's Journey, The Beautiful World, the animated series 2017 that's airing right now. And we had a little bit of time in there, and we really wanted to watch the old one to kind of give us an idea and do a little bit of comparison to the new one that's being adapted. Because for those who don't know, they kind of adapt some of the stories in both, well, technically just one story, they adapted again with the 2017 version. So we want to kind of watch the old one, get an idea of how it kind of feels and how it is, and we're going to watch both of them anyway, so yeah. But yeah, it's the 13-episode series that aired again back in spring 2003, done by Studio ACGT, which is different than the one that's doing it currently right now. The source is a light novel, of course, and the genres are action, adventure, slice of life, and psychological. The interesting thing for the people that are working behind this, or worked behind the 2003 Kino's Journey, is director and storyboard writer Ryotaro Nakamura, who, of course, did work for Shiro's Experiments Lane. So it was like one of those moments of like, yes, I've seen so much Lane. Not really, just the visual style. I was like, this looks so much like Shiro's Experiments Lane. There's got to be somebody here. And of course, the storyboard writer and sound director, or one of the other storyboard writers and sound director, also worked on Serial Experiments Lane. So there's about three people that are kind of cross between the two of them. The scriptwriter was Sadayuki Murai, who, of course, did work for Nice Sidonia, Perfect Blue, Cowboy Bebop, and series composition for Natsumi's Book of Friends. So really great scriptwriter working for as well. And, of course, the original creator is Keiichi Sigasawa, who, of course, is the same author for the light novel that is being adapted now for the 2017 version. Also did writing for Allison to Lydia, and also the Sword Art Online Alternative Gun Gale Online book. So, really cool stuff. So, Chris, the big question everybody has, let's get it out of the way, which one's better?
As it stands right now, I refuse to pick one. I like them both, very much so.
I agree. I like them both. I lean a lot more towards the older version, just because... And I guess I can get right into it now is, for those who don't know, Kino's Journey is about a girl named Kino, and she travels, and yes, it is a girl.
We have acknowledgement from this show.
Yeah, it's like they're very vague with the 2013 version, but it's like, everybody that's watching that are like, is it a boy, is it a girl? And it's like, if you watch the 2003 version, it is very plainly obvious that it is a girl, because it actually does show her backstory. And it's like, I wonder if they're going to end up, they have to do that story. They have to do her backstory with the new.
There's so many more stories that I want to see that I don't really care.
But anyways, it follows a girl named Kino, and she's a traveler. And there's in this world, there's multiple countries, and they're spread throughout this land. And the interesting thing about this world is that everybody is all these countries are kind of secluded to themselves, and they don't really. It doesn't seem like they really kind of communicate. There's some that actually combat with each other or whatever, but. For the most part, they're kind of secluded. They have their own governments. They have their own systems. They have their own theologies, and everything is kind of built into these little countries. And in this world, also, there are travelers, and travelers will just... That's all they do, is they travel from country to country and visit them, and Kino is one of them. And so it just follows her as she goes to each one of these countries, sees kind of what is the makeup of each one of these countries, and she has a built-in rule that she will not stay there for more than 3 days. And so after 3 days, she will leave. And so it kind of follows her. She goes to each one of these countries, and it, like I said, it's going to explore each one of these things. So the first one that kind of gets into this town that's full of robots and what happened to the people in it, her experience running into some people that were stranded and helping them. There's this other town that was believing that the world's end was coming. There's a sad town that has this person that sings a very depressing song and why that is there. These different little stories that are kind of self-contained that kind of makes up this show. So it kind of has like, if you ever watched like Mushishi, something like that, it's very episodic. It's each one of these little segmented stories. Sometimes they bleed over into a second episode, but for the most part, they're kind of self-contained. And I think with this one, they had just one story that was two episodes. So, yeah.
Yes, the ever vaunted Colosseum episode was
the one that was actually two episodes. The one that was that so far has been in both adaptations. So, yeah. There was two episodes in this one. It was one episode in the new adaptation. I don't know if it's a nostalgia thing for the old style, the old look. To be honest, it doesn't look in no way, shape, or form, in my opinion, it doesn't look as polished as the 2007 adaptation, but it is a visual style of its time. I think this is one of those ones that falls right in that early 2000s bracket of, you know, the digipaints and the very soft look when it's trying to be up-res and stuff like that. So it does have that old style to it, similar to Lane and all that kind of stuff. And I just appreciate the style to it. I appreciate the character designs to it. It does really have its own little flavor. And, of course, the 2017 version does as well. But I think it's... I don't want to assume that I know exactly what it is. My opinion, it feels like the directing, the pacing, the writing is all just top-notch with the 2003 version of Kino's Journey. I just love the characters. I love what they're kind of running into, how it presents each one of these scenarios, and what Kino's Journey itself does so well, and what they did with the light novel and adapting that, is each one of these stories are pretty much experiments. Each one of these countries are an experiment, and it kind of shows you that experiment. What is the current workings of that experiment? Sometimes the aftermath of that experiment, and it kind of it presents it to Kino. Kino kind of responds to it. For the most part, Kino, and I was telling Chris, it's similar to Mushishi, where Ginkgo never really, very rarely ever crossed a line. And Kino is a similar way. Kino always kind of observes it. It might be really screwed up, but for the most part, she's a traveler and she doesn't get involved. And there's these very rare times where she will kind of step over the line and get involved, but it doesn't happen too often. And I appreciate in both scenarios where, yeah, it's like these one times you're like, Kino, do something about this, please. And then there's other times where I'm like, wow, why didn't you do anything about this, Kino? It really is kind of bouncing back and forth between you kind of getting a little bit of satisfaction out of Kino stepping in, or kind of a sense of wonder of why Kino, or exploring why Kino wouldn't get involved with this particular scenario. And that's something that is really kind of fascinating throughout the series.
Yeah, it's fun to speculate on a lot of these places. I think that what I find more fascinating than anything about this is, it, like Andrew said, it's like Mushishi, but in a different way. It's more along the lines of actually seeing these countries and what makes them tick, and what is the extreme example of it, of this or that. And I love that about this show, is that these countries are so well thought out, and they're making these very clear, concise scenarios, for a lack of a better term, and using those and telling the story of this world through that. And I like how Kino is generally just going in there as an observer, or our eyes in this situation. And Hermes is kind of like our conscience going, well, why didn't you do this? Or Hermes is effectively us asking Kino, you say that you only stay in a place for 3 days. So why were you considering staying for more than 3 days in this particular country?
Yeah, I didn't explain that, but again, Kino is a traveler. Hermes is her bike she rides around on. And it's actually not, you know, foreign to this world that these bikes can have can speak. So it is a little weird. It is one of those things. When I watched the first episode, it was like, oh, that's weird. But then I was like, okay, that's this world. A dog can talk in this world, and it's not too foreign, but it is foreign to some people. But for the most part, it's a commonality that these bikes can actually have a personality. For those that have watched the 2017 version, they told one of the stories was one of these motoreds, and it was in a museum. And it was really sad, the idea this thing can actually talk, and it's stuck in here kind of thing. So Hermes, I agree, is definitely kind of that, does sometimes feel like it is that character that is you going, why aren't you doing this? Or why, that isn't that kind of hypocritical to kind of say that here, but not there kind of thing. So it's a fascinating series, and I definitely appreciate it for the kind of stories that it's telling. Even though most of the time, even though sometimes it is stories that are uncomfortable, or they are stories that you're like, this isn't right, and I don't like this situation. There's still these kind of little self-contained stories that are, you know, trying to show this experiment of society, which was really cool. So, yeah, definitely love this series, and glad to finally watch it all the way through.
I agree. As much as Andrew had to drag me kicking, I didn't.
He just wanted to watch Skip B, that's all. Well, yeah, not that you didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, I did want to watch this, and I'm glad that I ended up watching it all ultimately. It was a lot of fun, a very fascinating show. I think that more than anything, I love that it's balance between light and dark. I think that is a really neat aspect of Kino's journey. It never feels too dark, and yet it doesn't shy away from being heavy.
Well, it's sad because there's actually some of the stories where I kind of feel that it kind of leaves off of a very sour note. I mean, there's an episode that's early on that gets pretty violent, and it's like it ends with pretty much like, hey, would you do it again if you had the opportunity? And it doesn't really give you a full answer. It doesn't give you a solid answer, but it's still one of those kind of stories that had a really cool beginning, has the scenario, and has a really kind of cool end to it. It's almost poetic a lot of the time, and I really appreciate that, even if sometimes it's stories that aren't really, like the sad poet town was
sad
like a
poet
very
town was wonderful.
It was very, very episode. Tragic.
Well, yeah, tragic, but I mean, I like it for what it was. It was such a beautiful episode.
It is kind of one of those cool ones that I've had his stories, the author's stories, Keiichi. A lot of his stories are very bittersweet, but there are also a lot of stories that are kind of those, be careful what you wish for, here's the aftermath of it, and the kind of the almost a grin that it has in the storytelling to those that are kind of involved that may have been at fault for causing this kind of scenario to unfold. So trying to be vague as possible.
this is definitely one of those shows that has shot up next to Mushishi for me. I think that these are definite. I love them. It's a wonderful show.
Yeah, it does make me kind of wonder how much of a catalog Keiichi has for these stories for Kino's Journey, because it seems like I wonder how many great stories he has there, because there is some stories in the 2017 version that I'm like, that was kind of meh. I loved all the stories in this 2003 version, and it's not really too much of a fault of the 2017 version, because that's when we say the whole back and forth of like, which one's better? And it's like, well, technically, they have their own stories, so it might just be that they told all the really good ones in the 2003 version, and they're trying to find some really good ones to fit into the 2017 version. We don't know. I don't know how many stories he has, but it is one of those ones where I go, if he does have really great stories like this, I want to see them continue to make these stories, even episodic or OVAs, to continue to be adapted, because they're really cool. So kind of similar to Mushishi. I want more Mushishi, because they're really cool stories the writer told. So, but yeah, that's anything else for that?
No.
Okay, that was our review for Kino's Journey. We hope you guys enjoyed listening to this review of the 2003 version of Kino's Journey, Kino no Tabi, The Beautiful World. But yeah, we're at otakuspirit.com. You can go there for all of our anime, new and old. Great community in the forum links, top social links over on the right side, and all that good stuff. And we thank you all for listening, and y'all take care.
Oos!